Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Along with this special legislative session in Pierre today, the former Secretary of the Veterans Administration is joining Sanford Health. We'll discuss President Trump's visit to Sioux Falls and much more as we are joined now by the Dakota Political Junkies. Today we welcome Roger Whittle. He's managing editor at the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, welcome.
Thank you.
Also with us, Jonathan Ellis, columnist and reporter for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Jonathan, thanks for being here as well.
Hi, Lori.
Roger, let's start with any additional thoughts about the special session in Pierre, the special legislative session, kind of a long process that South Dakota has been going for, and this is the next logical step.
Yeah, this is kind of what they've been hoping for all along. I think it's interesting that they're planning on this just being a one-day special session, which it would be interesting if they get through all bills in one day. That'll be a fun thing to see if they do that.
Jonathan, do you anticipate any struggles with that? Will they keep the focus? Governor Dennis Dugard, Lee Strubinger just reported that, you know, he's suggesting we keep the focus, don't deal with the Partridge Amendment yet, and do the business that needs to be done. Do you think that that's the guidance that they'll follow?
In general, I think that that's the case. I think that certainly, though, you're already starting to see somewhat of out there on the social media, some lobbying on how, quote, this additional money would be used.
And,
there are lawmakers talking about, hey, we're going to have this additional money, but wait, well, there's this Partridge Amendment, but then, oh, wait, well, we've got to deal with that. I don't see them dealing with that here, and I think they'll probably listen to the governor's advice on this. But believe me, this will be an issue in the future legislatures for sure. If not, you know, probably this upcoming issue. I mean, there's money, and where there's money, there's people who want money.
Roger, Governor Dennis Dugard sort of coming out and saying, like, this is the focus for today. You know, he has an opportunity, though, to extend it and sort of make this, you know, a capstone to his administration. And instead, he's sort of offering, you know, the next governor the opportunity to weigh in on how this will all be implemented. Are you surprised at that?
Personally, I'm not. I think that kind of fits in with this governor's personality. He's a very humble guy, and he feels like he's just doing a job. And I'm thinking he's looking forward to retiring after this session.
Time to move on. So let's move on to the next conversation here, which is really about the presidential visit. Jonathan Ellis, Argus Leader, did great coverage that day as they met Air Force One there on the National Guard Air Base. And of course, the news out of that is the visit went off without a hitch, but there's a political fallout, some criticisms from the Sutton campaign about what the Noem campaign is up to. Give us an overview of that presidential visit.
Well, first off, thanks for recognizing our coverage. We put a lot of resources into it, obviously, and of course we should, because it's the president visiting the city, and haven't had a visit in a long time. But, you know, of course, there's always going to be political fallout for these kinds of visits during a campaign, and this particular controversy centers around whether Kristi Noem is violating a campaign pledge by taking money from political action committees, of which, you know, the Billy Sutton campaign has accused her of doing that. You know, it's interesting that she, you know, Kristi Noem has had her own political action committee, and my understanding is that some of the money that was raised in this event probably was going to be used in this political action committee. So a lot of this is technicalities of, well, is this political action committee the kind of political action committee she meant, or, you know, so it, you know, but you have to do your best as a candidate here, you know, to take advantage of these opportunities when you're with Kristi Noem, and then of course on Billy Sutton to raise issues about the fact that she's raising all this money and what's this money going to be used for.
And Roger Whittle, the Noem campaign, says this is a completely false attack, and you know, has rejected pretty much the Sutton campaign has said about this, which is, you know, again, what you would expect from both campaigns here. But talk a little bit about the money and the promises, and do you see that there's a disconnect between what was promised and what's being delivered at this point?
Well, that depends on whose point of view you're looking at it from. Being a journalist, I can actually see both sides. I can see Billy Sutton saying, you said this and you're kind of doing this, and she's saying, well, no, I really didn't say that. But it comes down to, when you're a politician running for office, fundraising is a huge, huge thing. Sitting Congress people spend a large percentage of their time fundraising. There's complaints all over the country about people not being able to get in to see their congressman unless they're donors to the campaign. So that's just the state of politics these days. You have to raise money, and you have to raise a lot of it, and you have to be doing it constantly.
And last time we talked, Roger, we talked about, you know, who would turn out to show their support, and, you know, who might turn out in South Dakota to show their opposition. And you made a comment right before we had to leave, and I'm glad you're back, because I wanted you to expand on that. And that was that you hear from people every day who have such strong support of the president. And do you hear, you know, sort of why? What is it about President Trump that is still, you know, his numbers have dropped in other states, but he's still going strong in South Dakota that we can tell so far? What's going on there? How good does his visit stand to help Nome, specifically because of how people appreciate Trump?
Well, it will. I mean, people in this state love Trump. I hear from readers every time I run a editorial cartoon that's anti-Trump, I get phone calls, and a lot of them. Yeah. So people in this state love Donald Trump, and Kristi Noem would be remiss not to take advantage of that. I think it's interesting that this visit was such a positive thing for the people of South Dakota. And I look back to a few years ago when a very unpopular president in South Dakota visited Watertown, and yet everybody welcomed him and was excited about him being here too. So maybe, you know, part of it is we love Trump. Part of it is we just love to have the President of the United States come and visit our state, because, you know, I think it feels, gives us a boost, puts us in a national spotlight.
Sure.
A little bit.
Right. Even though it wasn't a public rally, the comments were broadcast. Jonathan, one of the things the Argus Leader did so well in their coverage was really talk to people who had, you know, taking the effort, taking the time to go out to the convention center with something to say in support of the president, or, you know, critical of the president. SDPB's Jackie Henry was there as well, and she met some of those folks. But I'm wondering, what did we learn, you know, when people do come out and have specific criticisms and specific, celebrations about the president? What did we learn about South Dakotans and how they feel about this president?
Well, you know, there are strong feelings on either side. I would say I was outside the arena, outside the convention center, and at least in parts of the that area where I walked, I would say there were more Trump supporters who could not get into the event, but who wanted to be outside to cheer the motorcade. I think there were more Trumps, but you know, there were anti-Trump people sprinkled in amongst them, and as the motorcade drove by, they were screaming. I heard one guy call him a bleeping racist. And I heard other people, pro-Trump people. One lady who was on my video was screaming, "We love you, we love you." So I mean, it really tells you that there are polar opposites on how people feel about Trump in this state, and that's probably not unusual. I think that was probably the case, probably be the case with lots of presidents.
Sure. So we talked a little bit about how Congresswoman Noem stands to probably mostly gain from her association with President Trump. And let's switch a little bit, because Sanford Health has hired someone who was fired by the president, and that's Dr. David Shulkin, who was a VA secretary. And there was some controversy about his ethics. He was let go. He says that he was sort of sabotaged and run out by people who wanted to privatize the VA. So, Jonathan, the impact of bringing David Shulkin in to Sanford saying it's a big, you know, a boost because he's a great international healthcare leader. Is there any risk for Sanford, you know, one way or the other, because of what he's said against the president and the administration?
Well, certainly it fills. If we know anything about Sanford, they have this huge void in executive leadership positions, right? They need to
been looking for someone for a long time.
Yeah, right. It is a big name, it was totally random, right? I mean, who saw this coming?
Right.
Very, very interesting. The risk. I mean, he was a bit of damaged goods coming out of the, when he was fired or resigned or however. But he has made a fairly compelling argument that he was kind of set up in how he was taken down. I will welcome how this plays out. I mean, is there a risk? I suppose there is, but it's just interesting that Sanford kind of nabbed this pretty big name to come in and help provide some executive leadership here.
Right. Back to the campaign for a minute, because I almost forgot, Roger, to talk about, the post-Labor Day ads are starting to show up, and the first television ad in the general election from Kristi Noem has dropped. When you look at this first ad, it's probably not very unexpected there, sort of the things that she focuses on.
It is, and it kind of has a Northeast South Dakota feeling to it, because she, of course, is from Castlewood, which is in Hamlin County, and several of these people who appear in the ad saying good things about her are from the area. So she picked people from her own town to be in her first ad,
and noticeable to her own town as well.
Right. Oh yeah, very, very, very well known, popular people. Joy Nelson, I think most people know who she is, a local realtor who was just recently put in the South Dakota Hall of Fame either last year or the year before. And then Mike Carney, who is the president of Lake Area Tech, who instantly welcomed President Obama here not too long ago. So, she also had Larry Roden, her running mate, in saying good things about her too, which I thought was a interesting choice.
How so?
Well, I mean, obviously he's going to be
I see. Okay. Jonathan, as you look at the ad, they talk about her values, her work ethic. She's honest. She does what she says she's going to do, and she has a great agricultural base, business base, and her life experience makes her a great candidate for governor. Any surprises in there as far as what they would lead with?
No, it's your typical. I mean, this is how a campaign sort of starts to roll out, an ad campaign. The soft touch, you try to put the candidate, it's a bio ad, you try to put the candidate in best light and try to introduce the candidate. Again, reintroduce the candidate to voters. This is Kristi Noem, who's done this many times, but you always kind of, this is the how, you lay this, who this person is, out to the voters. You're trying to get information out to voters who, are always the most informed or stay up to date on stuff. And we should also point out that, Billy Sutton has a ad that's also running now, my understanding, West River, and much the same thing. It's a bio ad on who Billy Sutton is. He's actually narrating the ad, talks about his days as a, professional rodeo, the accident, things, and who what he is now, his background. So again, same kind of strategy, introducing yourself to voters, the bio, who you are, and these are the ads that hopefully, for if the campaigns that put the candidates in a positive light before potentially negative ads start later on down in the cycle.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you want to see horses, there will be no shortage of horses in either one of these ads.
I think we should do a story about the horses of the campaign ad. Let's find out who those horses are and how long they've been in a relationship with the candidate. Because, no problem finding the horses here. Roger, what's next? How long does the glow last of positivity and flannel shirts and horseback riding?
Well, I think a lot of that will depend on the candidate's polling. As soon as somebody feels like they're falling behind, then I think the negative ads will start. So these feel-good ads right now, let's enjoy them while they're here. And I will say that I only watched this ad because you were going to have me on this show today. I usually get upset when candidates sell their ads to TV stations for a lot of money and then expect and send it a press release to a newspaper saying, hey, we got a new ad, write a story about it for free. So I don't pay much attention to these, but this one I listen to.
All right. Well, here we talked about it. I'm sorry, Roger. We could pretend that it doesn't exist.
Thank you.
Jonathan, before I let you go, I feel like an update on some of the work that you've been doing, if you could give us an overview about the lawsuit with Avera and some things about how health insurance companies are sort of going after settlement money, and mostly to direct people to the coverage at argusleader.com so they can read this for themselves. But give us a teaser of what you've been following there in Sioux Falls.
Oh, yeah, thanks. We had a story earlier in July about a practice that some health providers, and it's not just Avera, I've even chiropractors and health providers. And what will happen is if you're somebody who's injured in an accident, rather than these health providers billing your health insurance company, what they're doing is holding out for the settlement. They're holding out for money that you would get from the accident settlement. And the reason why they're doing that is because they can get substantially more money. Because when they bill your health insurance company, well, your health insurer has negotiated a discounted rate. But if they can bill, if they can just take the full rate of what the medical bills were, I mean, that means that, you know, they get the $5 aspirin or whatever else it is, you know, so they can charge kind of what they want and take quite a substantial amount of somebody's an accident victim settlement. And so, you know, there's some debate about the propriety of that, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see some legislation surrounding that issue in the next legislative session about, you know, accident victims who've been hurt all of a sudden then don't get, you know, a portion or some or all of their settlement, and because the insurance companies chose not to bill that to the health insurance. And so there are some legal cases involving Avera on both here in federal court and also in Minnesota state court. So those are both kind of playing out. And again, I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard some lawmakers who are upset about this practice, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see some legislation dealing with this issue.
Hmm. You can find that work from Jonathan Ellis at argusleader.com. Jonathan, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Always happy to come, Lori.
And you can, of course, subscribe to the Argus Leader and the Watertown Public Opinion. Find them both online. And it's thepublicopinion.com. Roger Whittle, Managing Editor, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure, Lori.